Welcome to That's the Chunky. This is Kevin here with James, who this podcast is his ground. We are really lucky to be joined tonight by the Metalloid maniac, Mike Nyman. Mike, how are you?
I'm good.
The question that jumps in my head right away when I rewatch the sketch over and over is, this script must have felt pretty crazy when you read it.
Yeah. I guess, you know, there's a lot of crazy scripts out there nowadays.
And can you tell us about what your process was like being cast for this role?
I got sent an audition through my agent. And, you know, everything's self-taped now. Mostly everything. I went out for like... I went out for 16 live commercial auditions back in November. Got 5 callbacks and 1 avail and didn't book any of them.
Fair loss.
Yeah. I like getting rejected online better because you don't
know. Yeah. More comfortable. You can have better clothes on.
Yeah. You don't know about it. So it's like, if they reject you, they're not talking to you, so you're not getting reply back. You're getting reply back if you're on avail or you booked it. So, you know, that's cool. I like that. That's better. So they sent me the audition. I looked at it. I go, okay. I had my friend Gabe come over and read with me. I have the audition on my YouTube channel. Maybe I can send that to you. I sent them a whole bunch of stuff because they wanted somebody that that did stunts. At the time they cast me, I had a hand surgery. I broke my hand. Oh. And I wasn't sure about, you know, doing the role. Cause I was like, I go, well, you're going to be on a wall. You're going to have magnets. It's going to be a magnetic wall and you're going to be climbing. And I'm like, and you're going to be hanging from a wire. So I was hanging from a wire. And I had a stuntman also that they did a lot of the shots where, you know, where he's falling and they do those exclamations like, fuck, you know. that's my stuntman doing those.
Okay. But
where I am actually up on the wall doing the things. So I sent him a lot of stuff. I sent him a tape from... I did a show called Something Bit Me where I have a lot of physical action where I get attacked by a bear. That was on National Geographic. And then a surf video. I took up surfing when I turned 51. Oh. And I sent him that, and, you know, along with some other stuff, my acting reel and whatnot. And I was talking to my manager. I go, I'm not sure if I can do this or not. You know, I'm not sure if my hands healed enough to do this climbing. And well, eventually one of the associate producer talked me into it. And I was like, okay, I'll go, I'll do it. And we went for, and I had to go for a fitting on that crazy costume that they made me. So that was fine. No big deal. They got wrapped all this stuff around me and, you know, made it fit, did some alterations and went back for another fitting and a rehearsal, where I was up on the wire, climbing the wall. And they got my COVID test back and it was positive.
Oh no.
Oh no. So I was at the, you know, I was at the rehearsal and you got to go home.
Oh man.
You know? And so I guess I guess they had they shot all the scenes, I guess, in the same little studio. It's a little, I don't even remember the name of the studio. It's just a little place up in the valley there. They shot all the scenes there. I have a friend, Rico Anderson, who is in the sitcom sketch. He's one of the actors in the sitcom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Rico works a lot. He's a pretty big time actor. You know, he was on the set the same day I was. They were shooting something else, and I think he had scenes with Tim, and we were shooting Metalloid Maniac on the other stage, and I had my scenes with, you know, Sam. And that guy's an amazing actor, by the way.
You think so? Yeah, we're big fans.
Definitely. Yeah, he's amazing. That guy can, but they kept sending me COVID tests. I was like, all right, we got to wait until we go. And from what I understand, I've had COVID twice, and it doesn't do much to me. It didn't.
I had it twice. That's good.
And, you know, I'm within 5 days. I feel fine. I didn't feel that much to begin with. It just feels like a shitty cold to me.
Yeah.
And so I go back a week later, and all my tests are still coming back positive. And then they go, well, it goes, after X number of days, you can come back, you know, since you've tested positive this day, you can come back this day. And I took one more test the day of, and they told me it came back negative. So I was like, okay, well, we were shooting anyway. And I think that was it. That was we're shooting no matter what.
I think a lot of our jobs got there eventually. They were like,
yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. It's just like, you know, I don't know. I felt fine. I was a little tired.
Yeah. Harder to climb the wall, I assume, when you're a little tired, but with the ropes help.
Yeah. And then they got me in the suit, and I was running the lines I never got to rehearse with Sam at all. Mm. It's like you go on set. It's just like you got to go. And both me and Sam were having a hard time with our lines. And, you know, Tim writes very specifically for the show. And,
yeah, so we've heard.
We had to rig some things up where we were, like, reading lines one way. And I think a lot of it got axed. A lot of there was more to the script than what was actually in the show. And a lot of it got axed, but it was a good cutoff point, I think, because, you know, you've seen the sketches, obviously you're fans of the show, where they just cut off at odd places. The skit. So it was like that cutoff place where, you know, is there any way you can look like a bug up there? And it cuts off and that's the end. This is just like incomplete.
I think. Do you remember any anything that you thought was going to make it that was cut? Anything that you thought was particularly funny, or
you know, I've worked a lot in the industry, and most things that you think are going to make it get cut, or you know, if they're shooting, you know, I shoot on a lot of low budget projects, so, or it all stays in. Because there's nothing else to work with, right? It's like I did another movie where I play this a-hole trucker who gets in a fight with this bare knuckle girl out in the parking lot, and I'm pretty sure every frame that we shot's in there. Different takes of it, but it's like we were working. It's low budget. We're out in Lancaster. We rehearsed this big fight scene several times before we did it, so we were pretty well. I had a lot more rehearsal on that movie than I did for I Think You Should Leave, you know, because of the COVID thing.
So when you're cast, are you familiar with the show or Sam at all prior to showing up to the set?
I was familiar. I saw the show already. Yeah, okay. I was already. I knew about the show, or I'm thinking maybe that's when I discovered the show. Yeah. I'm kind of old, and it's hard for me to remember.
It's been a while too.
But I'm like thinking, did I know about the show before, or did it?
Did you?
I think it's. I picked up. I may have picked it up when I got the audition. Actually.
Did watching the show like inform how you played the part at all, or like prepared for it?
No,
at all?
No, I know the feel of it, but I know I have good instincts on, you know, when you're doing comedy, you play it straight. You're not, you know. You can see me out there. I'm serious. But it looks funny because it's like, that's how you play comedy. I'm the straight man. And, you know, Sam's like more the ringmaster of, you know, and I just play it off with him.
The script brings the necessary absurdity to that sketch.
Yes, exactly.
So you mentioned,
you know, Tim, he does a lot of overcommitment to everything. He writes them and then he acts in them. So he writes for himself. So he's good to go.
For sure.
You mentioned the suit that you were in. What was it like made out of? What kind of material? How was it like? Uncomfortable?
They have a guy on there. I can't remember his name, but he does a lot of stuff like that for them. He makes gadgets and stuff and made this. It was made, it wasn't heavy, but it was like, it was on me for a good majority of the day. And I was at the end, we were on set for like 13 hours that day.
Oh man.
Wow. I wasn't in the suit the whole time. Like there was I was in that suit, I would have to say for, I don't know. Let's see. I got there early. I would say I was good in that suit for a good 6 hours.
And when you're hanging, is it like, 10 minutes on, we'll drop you down, or were you just up there for a long time?
No, I was, we were doing lots of, because they had a lot of different setups for that. They got a lot of shots that they're cutting to, you know, as they do, they got the one shot. And then they did a lot of stuff with my stuntman before we shot mine at the end because when they were going to shoot at the beginning, but I was having some kind of panic attack in the suit. I don't know why.
I hear it's not uncommon, like when you're in clothes to.
I've done stuff like that before. Like I did Kazon. I played at Kazon Ogla numerous times in Star Trek Voyager.
Mm.
The creatures on there. So I was in heavy makeup. It's very similar, but not in a suit like that. And after a while, even though it wasn't heavy, it became like, I don't know if Tim knew this, but like exactly what he wrote in the script was what I felt. You know, I can't get around. I can't move. I was at the end of the shoot, I was like, fuck. So it was like, you know, it's exactly like the script.
One of the most meta.
So I guess Tim's a genius.
I had never considered it. James, the big question I was wondering is, did you voice the cartoon?
No.
Okay.
That was not me. Although I could have, but they probably had, you know, they would probably have to pay me more money if I did that.
Yeah.
They probably had somebody internal, like, you know, probably Tim or Zach or one of the other guys voiced it.
That makes sense. Did you? I'm guessing that the cartoon was kind of probably made after you like filmed your scenes.
I'm pretty sure it was because we shot in December of 2022, which is usually when I get sick in December every year.
Were you aware of the like cartoon portion of that, of the sketch, like when you were?
Yeah, I have the whole script, and there's there's a breakdown. I have the script somewhere. I think it's on my phone still. So it breaks down all that stuff there. I go, whoa, am I doing this? Am I doing this? Yeah, no, you're not doing that. I'm going, okay. I just did the live action acting. I wasn't going to do it. I was like, I'm not sure. And, you know, they kind of had to talk me into it. They wanted the mustache, bro.
They did.
I got hired for a lot of stuff because of this mustache.
Yeah, don't shave.
And I grew it out after the pandemic. You know, in 2021, I had an agent that fired me. And I'm like, okay. I go, you know what? I go, let's try something. Let's grow out a cool mustache. And I'm aged enough where I have, kind of a weathered look, a man of experience. And I grew the mustache out, and then I started booking a lot of stuff.
One of our last guests actually told us the same thing. Alan Heights was in a sketch, and he said, yeah, he used to be cast for sort of like different roles. And during COVID, he grew out his mustache, and he's like, I'm getting different type of roles now. And seems like advice for a lot of, maybe actors who aren't booking as much stuff as you are out there. Just grow the mustache.
Yeah. I don't know. It depends on what age you are. I'm a little older than a lot of actors, so I get the more men of experience roles, truckers, cops.
Yeah.
I get asked to do cops. I have a couple things, auditions in my queue right now. And I'm auditioning for a mob enforcer and then a fisherman.
Oh yeah, I could see that.
That's for a State Farm. I'm gonna knock those out after.
Yeah, you're in.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of guys with a lot of distinct looks out there.
The
guy Biff Whiff. Did you interview him?
We did. Yeah, we're big Biff Whiff fans. We gotta get him back on.
Yeah, he's like I see that he's booking some work now. He did some other movie with that guy that's Jake.
Jake Johnson.
Jake Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah.
The movie with him.
Self Reliance. I think.
I see stuff. I see what's going on out there.
I think he's probably been the actor who sort of springboarded the most from his appearances on the show. He's got a huge fan base, deservedly.
There's a lot of characters in there. A friend of mine, Joyce Greenleaf, was in the Haunted Tour thing. She didn't have any lines in that, or I don't believe, but she was one of the guests looking on, and
I think
Joyce
one of the
works a lot. I've known Joyce for years. I was in the acting class with her in the 90s.
Wow.
Nice. With this old character actor named Cliff Osmond, who oddly enough has a similar look to me, except he was more of a beefy guy. He was a bigger stature.
Oh yeah, I looked him up right now.
Solid
mustache.
Solid mustache. He passed away a few years ago. I think 2012.
Yeah, you're right.
But he was a great acting coach. He was my first acting coach, actually.
Wow.
There's a couple of guys that I was in that class with that are kind of working actors. Byron Mann, Chinese-American actor. He's in The Modelizer. He's like one of the executive producers. He's a dual Canadian U.S. citizen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, nice. He was in my class. Joyce and what's the other guy? It'll come to me in a minute. Guy on Doogie Howser, black guy that robbed the Quickie Mart that Doogie's best friend is working in. And he ended up being on Doogie Howser for a long time.
Oh, man.
Marcus Redmond, that's his name.
Yeah, he was on like the whole run of the show, I believe.
Yeah, after he did that role, the producers really liked him and wrote him in, which was cool.
He's
been in Fight Club. He's one of the cops that tries to cut Edward Norton's nuts off.
I might have to check that out again.
Yeah,
that's a great movie, man.
It is a great movie. I remember watching that in the theater and seeing the end. Yeah, there used to be a lot of twist endings back in the day. So when you do the sketch, like, are you glad you did the sketch? Was your hand holding up okay? Like,
yeah, it was fine. You know, it was fine. The thing that where I had my hand was a lot more comfortable than I thought it would be. I was still recovering from broke the hand, and I had a couple pins in my hand for a while holding the bone into place, but they removed them after I got my splint off or my cast off after having the surgery.
Yeah, we kind of think like a lot of these sketches really stick with people and are really timeless. So we're always glad to interview people who are in them. And it's just like, it was almost like the world was trying to keep you out of the sketch with your hand and with COVID. Yeah. We're just really happy that you got to, you know, see it through.
Yeah, me too.
They would have
a lot of friends that like this show too. It's a cult favorite. Either you've heard of it or you haven't.
And they would have cast some idiot.
The people that have heard of I Think You Should Leave and people that haven't.
Yeah.
They would have cast some guy with like no mustache and
the sketch. I don't know what they had available. Sometimes they're looking for that, you know, physicality. I get a lot of roles because of my physicality too.
Yeah.
Because I stay in pretty good shape.
Yeah, we were wondering, like, you know, when we were discussing before your casting, and we like suspected it had to do, they wanted someone who could act and do stunts, and we were wondering if you had a stunt man, and I didn't think so, but it's interesting that
there was a guy and you had one. They did a lot of shots with him, and they gave me a little stunt bump. I don't even remember. I didn't make too much. There's no residuals on these things. That's why SAG was on strike for a while.
That's true. And that was like it was really hard for us to wait that out. We had so many people we wanted to interview, I'm a union person, so we did not want to hurry people back, but we were like really anxious to interview people. We do promise, we do offer residuals once our podcast becomes profitable, which is keep looking for that. Jack. If something weird happens, you'll have a check in the mail from us.
Nice.
I guess first, when the actual show season was released, like, how quickly did you watch your scene, and what was your like?
Oh, probably like the same day that I found out.
Okay, yeah,
like you're for sure something like this. Yeah, this is probably the most biggest thing that I've been on.
Have you had any?
It's my most impressive credit, I think.
Have you had any like friends or relatives or anyone who didn't know that you were in it see you and like reach out about it?
You know, not really. It's kind of hard to recognize me in that big mask. But there's people that know I was in it and watched it for sure, because I have a whole bunch of friends that are, dude, you're on. I Think You Should Leave. That's freaking awesome. So I had a friend wait for his friends to come over and have a watch party with it.
And yeah, I think you're going to get spotted on the street more than you think.
I haven't yet. It's been like almost a year.
Well, if you can find the Metalloid Maniac costume and you want to walk around in the street in that, you'll definitely get recognized. I think I don't know how comfortable that would be, but
well, you know what they have to do is they have to see this, your podcast, and go, oh, that's what he looks like. And then they'll see me on the street and go, that's Metalloid Maniac.
Yeah, we might have to include a screenshot from the podcast. We'll make sure it's a complimentary one. we're all radio people instead of video people. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we sort of like introduced your experiences on the set. Like when you think back to that day, like the one thing I think is I can't listen to Sam Richardson talk for like more than a minute without cracking up. What was the vibe on the set? Were people breaking? I can't keep a straight face when he's talking. Like,
not really. We're just like I said, it was pretty. You know, me and Sam were both getting frustrated, and maybe Sam was getting frustrated with me because I kept forgetting my lines, and then he kept forgetting his. You know, it's like I think we should have had a read through. It might have worked a little better. I don't think Tim had a very big has a very big budget on the show. And, you know, oddly short every episode is like, what, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like six episodes, 15 minutes, and that's it.
I know. It's amazing. The whole series.
Whole season.
It's like 4.5 hours the entire show. Right?
Yeah. I'm going to binge watch. I think you should leave. Well, it'll be done in a couple hours.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing, like, the influence it has had, considering it's almost like the scarcity might be an advantage to the show.
Like Could be.
One of the issues with like Saturday Night Live, really? There's too much.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff on there. But, you know, look at all the good, cool actors we have on there. I mean, They're all stand-ups, you know. That's where they hire those guys from, is all stand-ups. I have a lot of friends in stand-up.
James, I'm feeling pretty good about my questions.
James is washed out. your background matches your font.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yes. A little.
You should have like a orange font.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know. I got this. This is the famous wall of fame here. This is my, well, you can't really tell because of the lighting in here, but it's kind of an ocean green.
You look very, very comfortable on that wall. It's like it's your ground.
Yeah. He built.
This is the wall that I built. You know? I have a guy that he gave me, he makes graphic designs. He found me on Instagram. And, hey, I'll send you some. So I got this big sticker on the back of my truck with the cartoon Metalloid Maniac.
Nice.
And then it's the wall that he built underneath it.
That's amazing.
So some people, you know, have recognized me or found me on Instagram.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Fanboys, right?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I used to work at video stores for years. I'm like, you know, a lot of fans out there.
Yeah, the I Think You Should Leave community is they're really into it. They dress I Think You Should Leave. So I think you're gonna have a lot of interactions with the world out there. The I Think You Should Leave world. It hasn't happened yet, but it's gonna happen.
See what happens.
Yeah.
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 Took you guys a while to find me.
It did. It was that strike. It was like we were.
Oh, I
see. We got knocked off. We had to take months off, and we had a like list of people we wanted to interview, and then we just started knocking them off one by one once the strike ended. But we were patient. You guys had to do what you had to do.
Why was the strike involved in that?
Because according to the strike, people weren't supposed to promote their project.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So we had reached out to a couple of agencies, and they were like, "We appreciate you reaching out, but we can't, you know, have our clients be booked right now." We were like, "Oh, I hadn't really thought of it ahead of time."
Yeah.
Yeah. But we got you now, and we're ready for you know, where you're going now. One question we like to ask people outside of I Think You Should Leave, what's a role you had that you're most proud of?
I don't know. I think a lot. Let's see. What am I? Well, I've done a lot of like indie stuff that's so underground. It's underground, you know. I did a bit on All My Children. I played I don't even know the character's name. I'd have to look on my IMDb. I played this character,
Alan Hodge.
Alan Hodge. Yeah, that's it. Alan Hodge and Tad's stepson or whatever throws a rock through my store window, and they go, so this isn't the guy that you found. And I go, no, that's not him. You know, I'm lying because Tad, the dad, paid me off.
Oh, man.
And later he gives me, and here's something for your trouble. And I'm like looking at him, and he goes, and a little more. You know, scene. But the kid that was accused of tossing the rock through my window, and that was Finn Wittrock. So he's a pretty big actor, that guy. He's been in The Big Short. He was in that Ratchet period. He played a serial killer in Ratchet. He came off pretty big off that soap.
Oh yeah. Nice. If you Google it, I can actually see the picture of you like taking the payment on All My Children. Like the money is being passed to your hand. James, it is very pre-mustache.
Oh man.
Yeah. I shot that in I think 2010.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's 14 years. It flies when you're having fun.
It is. Yeah. James has actually never missed an episode of All My Children. He watched it every day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So James, really?
not really.
You just have to go back in the VCR, James, and check that out. 2010.
Yeah, all right.
And, as I remember, Susan Lucci was on set that day too. She showed up. She's like,
huge.
Hello,
huge
everybody. I'm Susan Lucci. And everybody, hi, Susan. like one of the biggest soap opera actresses ever.
I think she's number one.
Yeah.
And she never got that Emmy, right?
She was, I don't know. Did she?
She was nominated like 15
I don't follow
times.
Soaps that much. I've watched once in a while. Sometimes I have friends on there or whatever.
I have no lie, never watched an episode of a soap opera in my life. And
but I've never like watched one like on purpose, except for the episode I was in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good living, actually. Wait a minute. I knew a girl on there that was in my acting class one time. She got kind of big too. It'll come to me, but she did the soap first before. A lot of these guys do soaps first and then get bigger.
Yeah. I've heard soap operas, just because they're so high volume, there's a lot of just like, you know, you're in and you're out on all of those, like every episode. It's
amazing how much, you know, dialogue they have to go through and memorize every day. It's like a very well aware of how hard that is to do. It's like, you know, people put them down, but the actors are learning or improvising or, you know, learning all these lines in one day. That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
Real talent.
Yeah. That's I don't want to take away their real talent. That's amazing. Not easy to do. And, you know, I'm lousy at memorizing dialogue.
Yeah, so but you got
clearly illustrated to you.
You got the mustache, though. It doesn't matter.
But luckily, a lot of my roles are, you know, like supporting roles that are a little easier to do. I don't think I've ever had a role where I had to memorize some huge monologue or something. One take.
Yes.
Isn't there some crazy monologue in Smoke, I think, that Harvey Keitel does? It's pretty famous in this the camera just sits there for like 2 or 3 minutes while he does this monologue that he had to memorize.
Oh man, I gotta check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's quite a movie. Mm.
We want to thank you for coming on. You've been very generous with your time. James, I had all my questions answered. What are you feeling good?
Yeah, I think I cleared mine too. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Mike, for joining us. It's really great to.
That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown clown pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Knights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash's sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash's stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine, again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.